Well, hello everyone and welcome. Welcome again to another episode of our All-Star LeaderCast. Special time right now. I think that the podcast is going to continue to grow. We are going to absolutely spend more time with guests. I have some amazing guests lined up. They're actually extremely important to business, our business leadership theme here. They're definitely important to this podcast and the subjects that we talk about, and I'm excited to get those in. As we know, the podcast will continue to evolve a bit, but I think we're going to start to see some changes that will be for the good, and also some segments that are going to be repeated, just basically because they're important segments to have. They're not going to be long or anything like that, but I think that they're important, and we can start to get a little bit more feedback, and we are getting some. I'm appreciating that very much, and it's good feedback. Of course, looking for any constructive criticism is great as well. I think that's obviously one of the largest things, or one of the biggest pieces of learning to be a leader, is constructive criticism, especially if you're doing something like a pulse survey from employees or other leaders or colleagues, peers, whatever you want to call them. I think that that's definitely something that we all need to get used to, and we can certainly evolve and be strong and get through those types of things, especially if it's at a time that, sometimes you feel like, man, I'm really killing it, and then you get that feedback and go, oh, well, maybe I'm not killing it, and we need to shift. Leaders need to shift. Simple as that. You cannot stay one way forever. Okay, you just can't. So you need to shift, you need to grow. Who knows if there's a certificate involved with that growing, if it's just a small book you're reading, whatever it is, there's definitely some things there that we need to do as leaders. So I'm excited to get moving on here. Let's go on to our first full segment, and let's enjoy ourselves today. Thank you for listening. First segment of this episode. I'm excited for this one because I think it's fun to share things about how we operate, what we do in our lives. And in a lot of cases for me, and I hope a lot of you, we're always thinking about ways to better ourselves. And is it always reading a book? Is it always taking a class? And, you know, I don't know that that's true. I know that I enjoy that. But I don't know that that's true, that it always has to be those things to better ourselves. In fact, I know it isn't true. And some of us think about that. So, you know, and none of us are perfect, as we know. And speaking about perfection, my cat Minerva just walked across the studio desk here, and I'm not going to edit that out because it's going to be just fine. We're not here to win an Emmy or some podcasty or whatever the heck they call it, but we'll go ahead and let that simmer there. I don't know if anybody heard that or not, so it doesn't really matter. But anyway, this first segment's about hobbies, and I was thinking about it. The majority of my hobbies, besides the physical, the athletic type endeavors, the gym, or watching sports on TV. I do enjoy watching professional wrestling. Excuse me, with my daughter Emily and my wife. We are fans and we enjoy that. But really, some of the other things that I do that I've been thinking about is collecting. I have in the past been a vintage toy collector, and I sell some of those things. When I was a kid, I was a major baseball card collector. And I thought about it, and I believe that when I started collecting baseball cards and football cards and basketball cards and hockey cards and trading cards in general, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, I think it was the start of my organization. And as far as what I knew would be a habit for me as an adult was how I organized my cards. Now, if anyone out there collects cards or trading cards, you know that it's almost as if you're going to an office supply store when you get your supplies for your cart. You've got different holders, you have different indexes, boxes that look like legal boxes, you have different boxes that look like file boxes. It is something that I really was thinking about, and I think you can tell that I do have an organizational, I want to be organized is the best way to put it, and I sometimes have trouble doing that. I'll move on to another task, and I will leave something on the desk where it doesn't belong, and it'll just continue to happen, it'll compound. So I actually got back into collecting trading cards, as something to do with my daughter and excuse me, I have a voice crack here. Didn't think that would happen. I haven't had a voice crack since I was about 14. So moving forward, my daughter and I were collecting wrestling cards together for a little while. She wanted to do a YouTube show for herself. And of course, at that age, she was 8. I wasn't going to allow her to have a YouTube show. It's kind of just wouldn't be, right. So we had a quick channel together, and we opened up cards, and it's something called an unboxing, and you break a box. Those are terms that collectors use. And of course, she grew out of it. She still has fun, though. If she's opening a pack for me, she knows what to look for, and she gets excited if she gets something we call a hit. But going back in general, so I kept on with it, and it's crazy, but I'll do anything to organize and reorganize my cards. That's something that is a hobby for me, and I really see that penetrating into my professional life as well. So it almost feels like at all times, even in my hobbies, I am continually feeding my brain. There's a lot to card collecting. There's numbers, and there's a base set that's up to 100 cards, and then there's a secondary set that's got a different color, so it's called a parallel, and there's only 50 of those, and you continue to collect, and there's some other special cards that you have to find, and it really keeps your brain moving. You want to talk about using spreadsheets if you're keeping track of your cards. You can become a master at Excel if you're a card collector. So, yeah, I thought I'd share that. It's just something that I do. I know I mentioned on the previous episode about jigsaw puzzles and how that's a great way to keep your brain functioning at a high level. But this is something else that, I naturally do. And I was thinking about it, and it makes sense that there's a reason why I enjoy doing it, because I like to be organized. And in fact, I am really jealous of people that are very organized and have a great feng shui, so to speak, in their office and things like that. And I admire that, and I try so hard. So for me, I look at this and just say, hey, I'm always thinking about something. I'm always trying to keep my brain moving. And collecting cards seems to really be pushing that as well. So, yeah, that's just something I wanted to share with you. Definitely if there's any feedback at all to the show, you can go ahead and use the Twitter account. The Twitter account is at All Star Home Med. We do have a function on the Anchor app and the Spotify app where you can leave a voice message. Or to be quite honest with you, if you're listening now, you go ahead and shoot me a message on Twitter or even on the Instagram, and I'll have you on. I'd love to have you on. So we're calling all podcast guests. Anyone that's got the time and the energy to keep up with some of the things that I'm saying or wants to come on and call me a goof, that's fine too. So... let's keep on moving forward with our next segment, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited you're here. All right, everybody, next segment. As I talked about earlier, this podcast and these episodes are going to start to become a bit more familiar as we have segments that at least will be a part of our bare minimum weekly show that I think are important. So this episode here, which we'll continue to do, is the book of the episode. And this is an important one for me. And one of the reasons it's important is, as many of you know, I just launched my small business, which is my vision and my business. We had a soft launch and we are continuing to grow and moving forward with that. But it was a vision of mine for at least 5 years. And there's a book that I ended up picking up from Amazon. It's a physical book, which is makes me old school, I guess. And it's called Starting a Business, The Quick Start Guide, The Simplified Beginner's Guide to Launching a Successful Small Business, Turning Your Vision into Reality, and Achieving Your Entrepreneurial Dream. And this is by Ken Colwell, PhD, MBA. If I can get Mr. Colwell on the show, I'm going to try very hard, because this book has done more for me in the last 30 days than 5 years of dreaming did. I can tell you that we meaning myself and my partner, pushing this company pretty regularly, right around the mid part of May of 2021. And we have moved forward with a soft launch. And that was before the, today is the 21st of June. I believe it was June 15th, the actual soft launch started, which is just phenomenal. So this book has done more for me in that short period of time than just sitting around dreaming about it. And a quick, I'm thumbing through it as we're talking right now, or I'm talking, I should say. And you look at, there's just such great information in here, different chapters and just tips. And it's very user-friendly. It's easy to read. Looks like chapter 3 is what you really need to succeed as an entrepreneur. You get your overview and it talks about some things that are definitely a part of that. And just quickly on this segment, it's passion, resiliency, vision, calculated risk-taking and hard work. And the calculated risk-taking is something that I found to be pretty interesting. Now, of course, there's some things in here that come down to the price matrix and things like that. The positioning, the price and quality matrix is a piece. Those are things that you're going to learn during your MBA. But at the same time, this is real-world experience from someone that knows about it. So I'm looking really forward to sharing this book with you. I hope that you can go on Amazon and get it. Again, it's by Ken Colwell. It looks like ClydeBankMedia.com is the distribution wing of the book. But Ken Colwell, PhD, MBA, is the person who wrote this. So I thank Ken for writing this and making it so easy to look at. And I'm going to continue to go back to it. I mean, it's a guide. It's something that I would keep on my bookshelf. So hopefully I'll be able to get Mr. Colwell on the podcast to discuss the book. So that is the book of the episode. Welcome to the next segment. Yeah, this segment might be a little bit tough for some of us to maybe hear or to think about after, contemplate where they fit into this conversation. You know, as leaders, there are times there's just times that truth needs to be told. And a lot of those times, it's with yourself, okay? A lot of the things we are doing within our professional lives is deciding automatically, and this will happen over time, how are we reacting to situations and feedback? Earlier on in this episode of the podcast, we talked just a little bit about growing and leading and learning and constructive criticism and those things. But there is truth out there. What happens when the feedback you're receiving is not constructive? It is, in your mind, not true. And will this feedback that you're receiving, because you are a strong leader, and a good leader, right, you allow this negative energy, these negative thoughts getting into your brain where you start to doubt yourself. A lot of us doubt ourselves every day. And that actually is okay because it keeps you humble. But there's a difference between keeping your feet on the ground and being humble. Between that and being so humble that you don't recognize how good you are. You can say that to yourself. It's allowed. You are allowed to pat yourself on the back. And some of us know when we should be doing that. Some of us have a harder time to do that. And some of us do it way too often, right? I know we know those people. They do it way too much. And it's a defense mechanism, is what that is. But back to the philosophy and the subject here. How do you react? How do you internalize feedback you're receiving that just is, there's no need or there's no construction to it because the other party bloviating, gosh, sometimes that word is amazing, isn't it? Is bloviating information that comes from some random molecule in the atmosphere that is some mutilation of an actual idea or thought. That is a really strange way of describing information that has been repeated to you that is not true about yourself or your style or your accomplishments or your capabilities. Very strong word, capabilities. So how do we react to that? Well, to keep sane, I think it also depends on what point of your career are you hearing this? If you are hearing this very early on as a leader, first promotion, first supervisory position, and who is the individual saying these or making these statements or very strange recommendations, who are they? Is it a subordinate? Is it a direct report who doesn't like change and can't believe you would be the leader? So you think about that and you know where to compartmentalize that comment. Is it a colleague? Is it someone that just has never enjoyed your presence in a room? Well, you can either try and figure out why that is, or you can continue to move forward. Or is it the worst one possible? A manager or a leader above you, your boss, maybe, who feels as if they, number one, are feeling, are they threatened by you? Which is a very egotistical thing to say, so we'll back that out. Is this person that is feeding you this information needing to sit back and have their own class on leadership, right? That's polite to say. So if it's early on in your career, it's going to affect you tremendously, especially if you are trying to move up. And this quite possibly could take the drive and motivation to be a leader right out of you. And you have turned into someone who's happy being where they are. Nothing wrong with that. And go down the line, is this a comment that's been made to you or criticism that is in no way constructive or true? Is this a comment that's made that's trying to invade your positive space later on in your career? So have you been through this before? Well, you've probably been through the direct reports that are just angry about change. Okay, we know these things happen, right? They do. But we also know that as we grow as leaders, we want to avoid this, of course, and we want to find out through different techniques, how do we push this person towards the light in the tunnel light, whatever you want to call it? How do we get them to catch the vision so they're not catching the bus, right? So we usually move past that. Is it a colleague? Yeah, it could be a colleague that you respect, but at the same time, where are you compartmentalizing the comment? Are you keeping it somewhere that you feel is truth? Well, if that's the case, because you respect the opinion of the colleague or the peer, are you taking that comment and saying to yourself, I really need to reflect on this? That is probably what you should be doing, right? I feel that you should be. But at the same time, how do we keep that shield up and that guard up for when we receive this information? Go back, think about it, and how do we stand up for ourselves against ourselves? Meaning, that person inside of you that's doubting your abilities or your commitment or whatever it may be, that is teaming up with this person who's made this comment that is just not true again, and not fair, with no, proof or no data behind it, whatever you want to say, that energy is teaming up with your already negative energy inside your body or a person, whatever you want to call it, and now you're doubting yourself because you don't have a shield to say, no, nope, sorry, I've been through this, and this is not true. And that's what we need. We need to do that for ourselves. There are times as we grow further along that we are going to pat ourselves on the back. We are going to have personal achievements that we can pat ourselves on the back for. We also need to be ready for that awful, awful term, jealousy, to come into our professional lives because we're bettering ourselves. I mean, I don't know that we're going to talk about office politics anytime soon, but it's probably going to come up eventually. Okay, well, that's office politics there. What's usually said behind your back? Well, oh boy, look who he thinks. Look at Adam. Oh boy, he's bettering himself. Or my gosh, he's taking classes and doing this, just showing off. I don't think it's ever been said to me, but it could have been. So now we've got our shield up and we can look ourselves in the mirror and say, yeah, no, there's a piece of an ego that's absolutely healthy, and this is the time to use that piece of your ego and do it. And say, nope, I do not accept that. Thank you very much. And that thank you is very sarcastic. And then, of course, you get to the point where you have a senior leader that's above you, probably doesn't know you or may know you or think they know you. And they're making commentary for whatever reason that is. And then you have to really look at yourself and say, all right, I've got the leadership down. I've had much success. I've learned from my mistakes. I have adjusted myself to this company culture. I have made the changes to the culture that I know in my heart I could absolutely make. And it still doesn't matter. Okay, what do? You know, to be professional, you internalize that, right? Or you could go fly off the handle and do something else, which obviously I'm not recommending, and I don't think anyone should do that because it's a bad look. It's a bad look, and word gets around. This is a big world, but it's small at the same time. So here's something that I like to repeat as much as I can. Don't carry your mistakes around with you. Instead, place them under your feet and use them as stepping stones to rise above them. Now, the term mistake is in there. Yeah, we've made mistakes. But in this case, we are going to pull the word mistake out and insert the phrase, or two words, negative energy, or you could say negative criticism, whatever word you want to use, you can. But for me, again, don't carry your negative energy around with you. Instead, place it under your feet and use it as a stepping stone to rise above it. And you will continue to do that. Absolutely. This segment and commentary here is about keeping your healthy thoughts within yourself. I thought of this under the auspices of trying to help folks that are just experiencing this type of thing, or have experienced it and just are questioning if they have or they did act in the correct way. And I, people, if you're listening to this, I'm absolutely positive that these things may have happened to you, and you have probably most likely acted in the correct manner. Okay. But as I was thinking about this, the other piece that came up in my head was the mental health aspect of this. And it's not the mental health of yourself, okay? It is, but it's not the catalyst to why I wanted to have this segment. It's mental health in general. And if you are listening to this and you are actually relating to the leader that may have had made comments that were not constructive, that were not anything that you would ever say again to anyone else, hopefully you can internalize that and know you wouldn't. You got to think about the person on the other end of your vitriol and where are they at in their own mental state in their lives. Now, you cannot sit there and pry into people's lives, but I truly believe there's a very minor piece. If you have an MBA, if you have some other type of degree, social work, whatever it is, there's a piece to those degrees that either did, if it's a good program, give you the skills to recognize changes in personality, recognize depression, recognize the most serious part, suicidal thoughts. Okay? I'm not saying that if you are going to give someone criticism that is constructive, that it's something that's the start of, you know, may or may not have to terminate someone. You don't get to sit in a room anymore and just say you're fired. It doesn't happen anymore like that. And I believe every interaction you have with your subordinates or your direct reports, unfortunately, probably need to be recognized on an individual level at all times. If you are required to make a comment or commentary or meet with a direct report of a manager of yours, so a report, but you know, on the other side, it would behoove you to get some background on that type of thing, okay, or that person. So what I'm recommending here is twofold. One, if you're the recipient of criticism that is not constructive and is not going to allow you to continue to provide yourself with positive energy, keep you on a good vibration, have a life and career and day, to be honest with you, that is positive and, oh gosh, successful for the day, however you look at your checklist on your day and say, this was a great day. Success, check, go home. It's a way to do that, and it's a way to understand in your own head, I know where to put this comment, and I also know to look at this comment and respond accordingly to my own internal emotional intelligence. That's the side that really matters here. I think that what we can do with the parties that are expounding and, like I said before, bloviating this misinformation full of vitriol and other big words, I think we can just miss that and move on forward, because this podcast is about leadership and it's about skills and strengths, and I wanted to tell some truth today. I don't believe that any of us are listening to this just to high-five ourselves all the time. I think that there are some lessons to be learned here. And our guests that we have scheduled coming up in the next few episodes and months and weeks are going to be asked about these things. And these are some people that really have expertise and may disagree with some things I say. And that's fine. So I'm looking forward to our next episode where we do have a guest. I will introduce that guest during the intro of our next episode, or maybe put out a some sort of tweet or some sort of marketing for that guest that's coming soon. I thank you everybody for listening today. I realize this last segment was a bit longer than normal, but I needed to make it very thoughtful, and I wanted to make it something that you can take with you for the rest of the day. So, of course, just remember one of my favorite quotes: don't carry your mistakes around with you. Instead, place them under your feet and use them as stepping stones to rise above them. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful day, or make it a great day.